with a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
There is one area of the Christian life that all of us fail in, not once, but very, very often. And the result is that we feel discouraged, we feel insecure, oftentimes we feel depressed. People feel all kinds of things as a result of failing in this one area. It is an area we know better, and most of us have been taught better, but somehow we keep on failing in the same area. In fact, one of the primary reasons we fail is because of lack of instruction, and somehow we don't realize how very, very important this basic, simple principle of Scripture is to our everyday life. A second reason is that somehow we know better, but we just drift away from it. We start out doing the right thing. Before long, we are doing something that we know is not the proper thing to do, not the proper response. And then, of course, the third thing is the fact that we just deceived. We think that somehow there's a better way to do this than God's way. Would you say, well, what in the world kind of mistake is that? One that I make, one that you make, one that all of us make, and we all ought to know better, but somehow we do it. I want you to turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says in one verse, one phrase here, he gives us the key to what we are talking about. And in this particular phrase, he gives us the way also that you and I are to live our Christian life. And what is that mistake we make? Well, let's read this second chapter and read these first 10 verses of it here. Remember now that Paul is writing to the Colossian believers, and there are all kinds of vain, empty philosophies that are being perpetrated upon the church. And wherever Paul established a church, somebody would try to come along with some different kind of theology and just cause confusion in the church. And so he writes and begins by saying in verse 1, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive arguments. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him, that is in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority." Now look, if you will, in verse 6. "As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Now, listen carefully, because here is a very, very important word from God. He commands us, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Now, I want us to look at this word walk for just a moment, because this is the word that Paul uses to describe the Christian's behavior and his conduct. And as you notice, if you read throughout the epistles, here's what you'll find Paul saying, things like this. He says in the second chapter of Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about that you and I, before we were saved, used to walk according to the course of this world. That is, in their lifestyle, their behavior, their conduct. Then he talks about walking according to the flesh, walking as children of God, walking in wisdom, walking in the Spirit, walking in love. Paul uses many phrases to describe our walk. Then John, in his little epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he talks about walking in light, walking in darkness, walking in truth, walking according to the commandments of our Lord. Paul says, for example, on one occasion, walking worthy of the one who's called us, walking according to the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the term walk is a term that they use to describe our conduct and our behavior as a believer. And so he says in this passage, if you'll notice, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now the question is, how are we to walk? Now, if you notice, he says in this passage, he says, so walk in Him. What does he mean by walking in Him? Well, you'll recall that Jesus on one occasion said that we are to abide in Him and He is abiding in us. In Him does not mean the same as, for example, we would say a man is in the house, or your clothes are in the closet, or your tools are in the box. We're not talking about that kind of in, but rather he's talking about a vital relationship, a union between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you not trusted Him as our Savior, the Bible says that not only did He forgive us of our sin, but He did something equally as important as that, and that is He brought us into a relationship. Like a husband and wife, when they're married, they have a new relationship. It is a more intimate relationship that grows from that moment on.